Planning Commission Board of Adjustment meeting for April 28th. And the meeting is being recorded, and I will be posted on the city website. Anybody wishing to speak, please raise your hand to be recognized by the chairperson. And with that, we'll go roll call. First name?
Dan.
Joni.
Bob.
And Gary.
Any additions or deletions to the agenda? All right.
Tonight's public hearing is regarding preliminary plat application for 0126 for the subdivision of an 18-acre parcel in the Shoreland Residential Zoning District. The subject property is located at a to-be-determined address on County Road 136. Property ID number is 222-40615. And the applicant is Stonemark Land Survey Incorporated, and the owner is Island Rentals.
Thank you so much, Chair Stanton, Planning Commission. The applicant is requesting to subdivide this 18-acre parcel into 7 lots. I'm happy to go through for the record, if you mind. I will go through each of these 7 lots. Lot 1 is 130,509 square feet undeveloped parcel with a buildable area of 81,096 square feet and over 400 feet of frontage on County Road 136. It is a 3-acre parcel, and this does meet the minimum lot size requirements for a parcel in the Shoreland Residential Zoning District. Lot 2 is 119,786 square foot undeveloped parcel with buildable area of 64,064 square feet and over 200 feet of frontage on County Road 136. This is a proposed 2.7-acre parcel, and it does meet the minimum lot size requirements for a parcel in the Shoreland Residential Zoning District. Lot 3 is a 98,100 square foot undeveloped parcel with a buildable area of 57,864 square feet and 63.48 feet of frontage on County Road 136. This is a proposed 2.3-acre parcel, and it does meet the minimum size requirements for a parcel in the Shoreland Residential Zoning District. Lot 4 is a 98,565 square foot undeveloped parcel with a buildable area of 56,214 square feet and over 150 feet of frontage on County Road 136. This is a 2.3-acre parcel, and this does meet minimum lot size requirements for a parcel in the Shoreland Residential Zoning District. Lot 5 is an 86,507 square foot undeveloped parcel with a buildable area of 44,088 square feet and over 150 feet of frontage on County Road 136. It is a proposed 2-acre parcel, and it does meet the minimum lot size requirements for a parcel in the Shoreland Residential Zoning District. Lot 6 is an 87,821 square foot undeveloped parcel with a buildable area of 35,362 square feet and 150 feet of frontage on County Road 136. It is a proposed 2-acre parcel, and it meets the minimum lot size requirements for a parcel in the Shoreland Residential Zoning District. Lot 7 is a 106,317 square foot undeveloped parcel with a buildable area of 43,036 square feet and 490 feet of frontage on County Road 136. This is a proposed 2.4-acre parcel, and it meets the minimum lot size requirements for a parcel in the Shoreland Residential Zoning District. Tonight, this is a preliminary plat. We are seeking a recommendation of either approval or denial. Based on the staff findings, I'm hoping that you all had a chance to read through it. All of those dimensions that I just mentioned are listed in those findings as well. Other than that, there are a few recommendations as far as conditions. The two most notable are there is a park dedication fee of $5,960. That is in our ordinance, and that is given in lieu of public land being donated, so that is to go towards parks in the city of 50 Lakes, and then also requirement of an independent plat check to be completed prior to approving the final plat. Both of those conditions are listed in ordinance, and they are not out of scope at all for a project like this. At this point, the applicant is here, and she'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have, or I can help as well.
No. Question was, is there property designated for a park here? No, it's just the funds.
No, nope, in lieu of that. Yep. So usually with the plat, we would request some sort of a dedicated green space or a dedicated public land, and I think almost every city I've ever worked in has the option to do what's called a park dedication fee, and it's that fee in lieu of land dedication.
So does that money go then into the general fund, or
it goes into
dedicated
parks.
Parks?
It's just for parks. Yep, that can't be spent anywhere else. And basically, how that works is that you anticipate that many more people moving into the area, and the impacts on the local parks, and so that kind of subsidizes that.
Each one of these lots then will have a driveway access to 136?
Not each one. The applicant is proposing, basically there are four, and you can kind of see them on here. One is between lot 6 and 7, so if you go from the east, there's a driveway there. So there'd be one entrance, and then the driveways would kind of split off of that one. And then in between lots 4 and 5, the same. And then in between lots 2 and 3 would be the same, and then 1 would have their own. We understand that the county likes to minimize the amount of entrance permits on county roads, and so that was done just to mitigate any problems.
Okay. I'm struggling to find out exactly where this is. I was looking for some road signs, but I couldn't see it.
So if you're familiar...
Is this the Eagle Lake Public Access Road?
It is, yep.
Okay, and then this here is the power line?
Correct.
Going there, okay. Mm-hmm. So did you say that... Is it okay if I point?
Absolutely.
You said these two lots have a driveway going that way?
No, so all access, all access will be off of County 136.
Okay.
So there won't be any access allowed off of the DNR's drive. Yeah.
None of them off the public access
correct.
Drive.
Yep. And then prior to June 1st, a wetland delineation will be done, and then site suitabilities will be submitted as well. So before we get to the point of a final plat or anything, we'll have those.
So all of these lots have some property on the other side of the access road, if you will.
Correct. Yep.
And what would a property owner be able to do with those portions? Zero. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Yep. Because they're not able to have access off of the DNR's drive. And then if you look, they've got some steep slope and some vegetation. They'd be subject to steep slope standards. You could go over there and you could have a lovely picnic. You know what I mean? I mean, people could put a fire pit over there. I'm just trying to think of everything that could possibly be done.
A buildable portion of
it
the lot.
It really isn't, no.
Maybe, there's one rather big one. Is that lot 3? It's kind of a big portion across there.
Yep, and that's got the steepest.
Mm-hmm. And then how many of these lots border a lot that is on the lake?
No. These are all non-riparian.
So how many of these border a property that is on the lake?
Let's see.
Because it didn't look like the one on the left there did.
2, 3. Counting
or is it?
Counting the DNR access as one of the parcels.
I went to the GIS map and printed this out. This shows you the property IDs there on the lakeside.
Yep. And then in the staff report, the very first picture does show.
So these are not right here, they're on the front. These are not.
Right. And none of these lots appear to have lake access.
Oh, exactly.
And they wouldn't have any lake access. I mean, there's nothing that would. Well, they'd have to go out, they'd have to go out and use it just the same as everyone else. Yep.
Any other questions amongst the board? Otherwise, I'll open it up for public comments.
Has the DNR recognized this?
They were noticed, and they did supply a comment that said no comment. So they have no comments. It meets everything.
How long is their lease good for that access?
I do not know.
I don't know if it's a lease. I think it's an easement.
So is it forever? It is forever. I thought they're a 30-year period. I discussed this earlier. Or maybe someone else. But I thought they were on 30 or 40-year.
I don't think on this one. I think it was an easement. So that was a recorded easement, not a lease.
So are the easements part of their building envelope, or will there be a 20-foot setback?
We show a setback. I don't know how far. What does that say, 10-foot?
Yep. So those were removed from the buildable area. The easements for the utilities and the easements for the DNR were removed from the buildable area.
Are they already marked, the lots?
No, we have not
seen. Not until it's approved, I would guess.
Right.
So the platting process is, they come forward with what's called a preliminary plat, and so that's what we're talking about tonight. And your recommendation will go to City Council, and the City Council will either approve or deny the preliminary plat. From that, any changes that we need made or any conditions that need to be followed up on, including like the septic and the wetland delineation and those things, will be done prior to them submitting an application for what's called the final plat. And then the final plat goes through the same two-meeting process. It'll come back before you, and then it will go to the City Council again.
And has the property been owned since 1966? Did I see that somewhere by the same person?
That I don't know.
Oh. Is that Oliver?
It was owned by Kenneth Anderson, is the earliest record that the county has for tax roll. And the current owner purchased this property in 2015.
Yes, sir.
Question, when Ken owned it and when it was purchased, how many acres was purchased? Does it say?
It's just whatever that lot is, so I'm assuming it's the 18 acres. If it was split at that time...
It wasn't. It was a whole area from Shamrock Lane down the end of Shamrock, and then all the way over to 136 to Shamrock Lane. I own where Ken used to live, and I bought 10 acres in addition to the two that I'm on. Now, we were told there was only 20-some acres there. Now, all of a sudden, there's 18 here. I own 12, and three landowners own more land. So I don't understand where we're getting this 30-some acres from in the 20-some acre lot. That's my concern. I'm right on the corner of Shamrock and 136. And I own 11.8 acres there.
How long ago did you purchase that?
10 years ago.
10?
And at the time, we had found an old for sale thing on that whole area and said it was 20-some acres. And I talked with Jerry Larson, and he claims it was only 20-some acres there also. But now, all of a sudden, there's 30-some acres, and I just don't understand this.
Well, the application tonight is only regarding 18 acres located on parcel ID 22240615.
But if there's only 20-some acres there, I own 12, they're trying to sell 18, that's 30. And there's three landowners also own property there. So where is the additional acreage coming from?
So you think the plat map is incorrect?
May I interject? And what you're seeing is when they sold it, Dave, your house is here.
Yep.
They just sold off this 20, this adds up to 26 acres right here.
Okay.
And this 18 acres was separated in between you and Kent. There was a buyer in between.
No, they owned it. There's no buyer.
Maybe the family? The family?
That's what the challenge is.
I don't know. Old.
This survey was, I got to think they phoned property market.
We tied into the section, we located the road. The description is all that part lying north of the road. All that part of that 40 is lying north of the road. And so, but Bethany, does it say how many acres, what the
county?
County says?
The county lists it as 17.88 acres.
Yeah, okay. You can see the, that picture, you can see the power line. And Eagle Lake Access Road as well, right?
Yep. And that's the deeded acre, so I don't know if they've pulled out the easements in that, because the county has it as 17.88 deeded.
Yeah.
That was never explained to us when we bought, because we could have bought the whole area. That's a handy tool, but did you get it?
It's a signed survey.
Yep, and like I said, there is that condition that calls for an independent plat check. And that would be an independent surveyor would just double check everything and make sure it's good to go.
And we don't know who Oliver is.
I don't know who Oliver is.
Somebody in the past, like Gilman Lots down there, you know, far down. And how long does the power company have that right of way? Forever?
Yeah.
As long as you want power, I'm guessing, right?
As long as it's there.
Mm-hmm. Until they put it underground, which I can't imagine them doing.
And it will still be an easement.
That's
if it's
true.
Underground.
Yeah.
So
they have to access it one day.
Right. Yeah. So unless they move the lines to somewhere else, which I guess happens, but that's a pretty established easement.
But deer like that area.
I bet.
The deer all over the little trees there.
Any other comments, questions?
All right, on this plat, are the buildings proportionate?
Yeah, I mean, they're just an average size. If you look over on the side, on the legend, it'll kind of give you a size that we put in there. It's just an approximate location.
Right.
For illustrative purposes, to show that there is enough area for a house, a well, and a septic.
Mm-hmm. And I know this is just a preliminary hearing, but the vision of the individual buildings,
the vision
of the individual buildings is approximately the size, or what is the going forward like?
Well, that would be when they pull a building permit on the property, that would be governed by the city of 50 Lakes. So they would have to meet their impervious, they would have to meet, you know, the setbacks, everything that you have in place. So once they're created, then you have more, I wouldn't say control, but more direction on what they would have to do.
Right. Yeah, I understand this number. I was just curious.
So a buyer of lot 5 still has to go through all the process to...
Right, and they could maybe lot that and put the house close to the road and put all their, you know, it depends on what that individual wants. Right.
But the lots have been designed in order to give them some flexibility of size.
Yeah, correct.
Impervious and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll know more once the site suitabilities for the septics come in, right? If there's any constraints to any of the parcels, that would be something that we'd have to work through, and that would be taken care of prior to the final plat.
And is that Shamrock then on what is now the bottom of that?
Nope, Shamrock is down further. Yep.
Farther? Okay.
So Shamrock is further down the road. In fact, this development, Shamrock doesn't even... is not impacted. Nobody's going to use Shamrock Lane for access, so it won't increase traffic to any near area roads, just to County Road 136.
And the house on the left of the map that I'm looking at, that's an existing place?
Correct.
What, is this a road? Is this hidden?
That is the end of Shamrock Lane.
It's under?
Yep.
Okay. The end of Shamrock Lane. Okay.
Yeah. So there are several.
Yeah.
Properties, three of them that are accessed from Shamrock Lane, right there.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't hear from any of those property owners?
No. Everyone within 350 feet of this parcel was noticed.
Any other comments, questions? If not, would somebody like to make a motion to, without approving this, no?
It would be a recommendation.
Recommendation.
Based on the findings of fact and the conditions.
Yeah.
Do we want to go through the findings or the staff recommendation before we do that or not?
I already went through the staff recommendations. Right. I can go through those again. And then the staff findings are just information about this property. You know, the DNR was notified, the county was notified, all driveways and access are off of 136. No infrastructure or new roads are being proposed with this plat. All the proposed parcels are located within shoreland, recreational development, non-riparian. It's 18 acres that is going to be divided into seven parcels. The plat meets the applicable performance standards in the ordinance. It meets the residential and rural development goals outlined in the city comprehensive plan. The park dedication fee is equal to 5% of the fair market land value. We did go off of the county's values for that. Will be required in lieu of land dedication. Wetland delineation site suitability will be submitted prior to June 1st. And then I went through and put all of the dimensions of each of the lots in that as well.
So this is a one-time for the park dedication fee?
Yep.
That's not an assumption, that's just a one-time?
That is a one-time fee.
That based you came on up with, based on?
It's on the fair market value, and yeah. We went off the county's assessor, the value. So we didn't get that information from anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. So does the motion, is it to accept a preliminary, or what is the
it
motion?
It would be to recommend to City Council either the approval or the denial.
So, would somebody like to make that motion and include the three staff recommendations?
Well, I would like to make a motion for a preliminary plat application for 01-26 to include the three staff finding recommendations to approve for the City Council vote.
To recommend it for
recommend the City Council.
Yeah, based on the findings.
Gary?
Second?
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Good enough. Thanks. Open forum.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
Yep. We'll be in contact with you on Friday.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Ready to get a chance to read over the March 24th, 2026 minutes?
Yes.
And any changes or anything? If not, I want to make a motion to approve the March 24th, 2026.
I will make a motion to approve the March 24th, 2026.
All right. Mr. I'll second that.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. New business. Says none. Old business. Not old business. Council liaison report.
I don't have much for you today, so we'll let that go.
P&Z administrator's report.
In the back of the packet, there is information on the permit activity for the last, I believe it is through April 20th is what I have that through. And the table here is updated, so if you just want that information about what has been approved so far and what has been applied for so far. Things are picking up. My goodness, phone keeps ringing and people keep building, so it's always exciting. Today, as we talked about last month, I just wanted to run through some key terms and some tables and visuals for Shoreland and what that means for Shoreland in the city of 50 Lakes. So I printed out this document if you just want to grab this. So I just gave the definition of Shoreland as basically anything within 1,000 feet of public water or 300 feet of a stream or river. It's 500 from the Mississippi, but we don't have to worry about that here in 50 Lakes. There's a great diagram on the front of that kind of gives you a visual of what we're talking about. Also, our zoning map, if you notice, it's got some cross sections that go this way around the water, and that shows that distance, where you can find that. In our ordinance, there are shoreline classifications. These are based on information from the Minnesota DNR. So shoreline classifications, all of the lakes within 50 lakes are listed. Some named, some unnamed. They all have numbers. You can go to Lake Finder and view our website. You can get more information on that. And also the tributary streams are also listed. So there's quite a few lakes. I don't think there's 50 of them, though.
No.
Rename it.
I think we need another one. I think just one. We're just shy.
There's some puddles from yesterday.
So that's just kind of the list that we go off. Those are protected waters. So when we talk about permitting things in shoreland, we break it into zones. And so we've got that 1,000 feet. And then the shoreland impact zone is probably the most restricted. And that is basically your lake setback. So if you live on a lake and you have a 100-foot setback or a 75-foot setback, that is the shoreland impact zone. These zones are then divided again into two, right? You've got shoreland impact, or SIZ1, and you've got SIZ2. So SIZ1 is that first half of the setback. So if you're on a lake with 75-foot setback, that's 37.5 feet is the most restricted. So limited dirt moving, limited structures can go in there. SIZ2, you have a little bit more freedom, a little increase in patio size, a little increase in what you can do and the amount of dirt moving that can be done in that location. And then the rear lot zone is everything from that OHW setback to the land edge of the shoreline district or the shoreline zone. And all of that property is subject to what's called Minnesota Rule, and that Minnesota Rule is 6120. And you can look that up on the state's websites. It's fascinating to read through. Maybe not for everybody, but for me it is. If you wanted to look at the shoreline management standards as adopted by the city of 50 Lakes, 50 Lakes did adopt higher standards. So there are some things that were even more restrictive here in the city of 50 Lakes. For example, a water-oriented accessory structure. The DNR requires those to be 10 feet from the shore. City of 50 Lakes requires them to be 20 feet. So they have increased setbacks, those kinds of things. So those are pages 66 through 80 in the land use ordinance. So if you want to just quick reference to see what is available, there's also a fact sheet on our website that goes through what's available to be done in shoreland. It's called a shoreland alteration permit. Just quick mention though, always like to say this, if wetlands or bluffs are present, rules change. So you've got to make sure that you can rule those out. I also included Minnesota Shoreland Management Standards History Timeline. I thought it was interesting. I thought you might want to know. So if you want to read through it, it kind of gives a timeline of when there was significant growth in lakeshore homes in Minnesota, when the land use protections started, when Shoreland Rule was officially adopted, when it's been updated, and it just gives some interesting tidbits. So it's just a very quick overview, but that's how we break up that area, and that's how that is regulated.
Thank you. Yes, good information to have right at hand.
Yeah.
And then Don already gave me an idea for next month, so we're going to be talking judicial versus quasi-judicial.
Could we also perhaps in the future do maybe for us and learn to people more about new corridor?
Vegetation standards?
Vegetation standards.
I can do that.
Lakeshore property at SIZ 1 and 2.
Vegetation standards?
Yes.
And view corridor.
Yep. What would, is there, what is the repercussion of?
If somebody clear cuts their shoreline?
If someone makes a mistake.
Yeah, so it depends, right? Because we look at every case individually. I haven't had this happen here, thank goodness. But in other cities, I have had people that have clear cut their entire shoreline. And a restoration order, along with in cooperation with Soil and Water Conservation District and the DNR, and it gets very expensive. And then you do monitoring for, you know, many years. Problem with that is that once it's cut down, you lose 40, 50 years that you're not going to get back. It's a horrible, horrible thing if it happens. Most people are aware of shoreline rule. Most people don't want to clear cut their properties. So, I mean, that's on our side and that works well. But I have had people that have clear cut their entire shoreline and dug into it and excavated public water. It's amazing what people will do. I've had people add 15 feet of rock out in front into the bed of public water.
But if that was the topic that night, that would be included
yep.
in as well.
Okay.
If you're willing.
Yeah, yeah. What a restoration order is?
Yes.
We had that happen on the off of Peninsula Road on West Lake.
Yeah.
But then the ATF.
After the fact.
That, I mean, some of that can. Obviously, some of that may be part of that repercussion.
That would be a good, we can talk enforcements.
Yep.
Like, and just what happens when somebody, you know, a complaint is filed, and what my process is so that you guys are aware of that. But we try to work with people. Voluntary compliance is a lot better than having it sit on the city attorney's desk, because that's where it ends up going. So if you can get people to voluntarily comply, that's the best situation. Yeah.
Completely unrelated. I believe there's a rock creek that flows into, I'm going to say Basin 294 is Mitchell Lake. Is that what that means?
I'd have to look
Basin
at the map
294 because Mitchell's identified as 18294.
Where is Mitchell? Here we go. Mitchell, that stream is called Daggett Brook to Basin 312.
Yes, there's Daggett, and there's Crooked, and then there's Rock that we've been pulling samples for Wapoa for a few years.
Okay.
Which is over more off of Zygmunt Drive. I think you just don't see it here. But
okay.
There is one that says unnamed 2 Basin 294. So
that right. could be it.
And there's not much. Of a stream.
Okay.
But Ken Nyhard and I and Ben Gibbs found it one year. And I think.
Yeah, I have been up there.
Since then, Ken has asked that we pull a sample as close as we can get from Mitchell during those monthly May to September water sampling that Rockwell does through AW Research.
Okay.
I never knew Rock Creek was there.
I've never heard of it. So this is
after 25 years on the lake, I had never heard of it before.
Yeah, and thereby a lot of things that are like that, they are unnamed because they haven't officially been named, but the locals have been calling it the same thing for about the last 40 years. So yeah.
That's why Oliver's got to be somebody.
It's got to be, right? Got to find out all the details.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions for me?
Oh, great. Oh. Somebody want to make a motion to adjourn?
I need to make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.